From Baffin Bay to Palo Duro Canyon and Mount Locke to Davy Crockett National Forest, when government works against your liberty, Pratt on Texas will sound the alarm. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, Texas passed a law that candidate campaign finance reports are to be posted online by local governments. Easy to do, simple to do, and it's important for the public to know who's giving what and spending what in local campaigns. ProPublica and the Texas Tribune went and sampled 35 school districts, and none of them had complied with the law. Not one of their sample. We visit with Representative Carl Tepper, House District 84 in Lubbock, who authored the law. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. We've got more on the Linn County Hospital bond election, thanks to a Listener Club member. Also, big story telling us what we already knew, what we, the intelligent people, already knew. The solar, wind, and battery units on the ERCOT electric grid could cause, and quote, immediate catastrophic grid failure, end quote. Big hearing at the ERCOT deal board and a big story in the Houston Chronicle today. More on the arrest at UT Austin yesterday and the attempted takeover and sit-in of the pro-Hamas terrorist crowd there at UT and all the people they've duped into following them. That and much other news. I am loaded up today. Be prepared to listen fast. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. By the way, one of my favorite places for lunch in Lubbock is Narrow Bar in the lobby, the old beautiful bank offices. It's just in 1500 Broadway, the old First National Bank, Norwest, Wells Fargo, whatever you want to call it. It's McDougal Plaza, and it looks out over Broadway. They have a beautiful outdoor area. It is just the menu's just right. The pricing is right. One of my favorite places for lunch, and I've got a $25 gift certificate to give away to somebody in Lubbock who wants to go to Narrow Bar for lunch. All you got to do is go to PrattOnTexas.com, and you'll find the link there in the top section. Find it, click on it, fill out the little form, and then it's going to stay open for entries for those of you that listen to the Pratt on Texas reprise. This show will be listening to on Friday morning on KWBF. And also on the podcast, I'm leaving the entry open until 10 p.m. Friday. That's tomorrow, Friday, the 26th of April. Entry will be open until that time at PrattOnTexas.com for a $25 gift certificate to Narrow Bar. And it is really one of the nicest spaces in Lubbock. The food is fantastic. Service is very good. They're very quick for lunch and priced right. Monday through Friday, no better lunch place. Of course, they're open in the evenings too and everything, but the lunch is truly, it's what a find. It's calm. You get in there, you go in, you get it done, and I like their menu a lot. All right, my friends, that's at PrattOnTexas.com. Let's get into one of the really big stories of the day, and that's this huge piece out in the Texas Tribune today. So I called up Representative Carl Tepper. Well, today there was a really big piece, and folks, I mean, it's too long. It's absurdly too long. It's like a New York Times Weekend Magazine feature piece, 5 or 6 pages, in the Texas Tribune for what is otherwise a simple story. Texas school districts violated law intended to add transparency to local elections. Number one, is that even news? I mean, given it's so much the common. But this involves our good friend Carl Tepper, House District 84 state rep out of Lubbock. Representative Tepper, you authored a bill in the last session that did what? Because that's at the center of this story.
Look, it was a simple bill. It was about local districts, the school board elections and the city council elections, county commissioner, having to go ahead and post the campaign finance reports online.
Right, because for all the state stuff, we just go online and look at it. And if you're a local jurisdiction holding an election, you have candidates that file with you as the authority, and the public's supposed to be able to see your campaign finance stuff. You know, who's donating to whom? Who are you paying money to as a school board candidate or anything else? So this applied to all the local jurisdictions. Was it all of them or just of a certain size?
All of them. Water board, the city council, yeah. Everyone.
It's yeah, given I've got just, scanners yeah. that are no longer good that are what, 30 years old in storage I should throw away. It's not exactly a hard thing to do to post this stuff online.
You just scan it and put it up on your website.
And so what's the big deal in this? I mean, apparently they did some checking around and a whole lot just in the ones that they examined just 35 school districts, I think, and none had the reports online.
I was surprised to hear that so many had not complied with the law, and I can't tell if they don't know about the law. Usually,
they pay TASB a lot of money. They pay a lot of our tax dollars into these associations that have the phalanx of lawyers and people that advise them on everything. So it sounds more like they just didn't want to do it to me, but that's just my opinion. That's not Representative Tupper.
Yeah, I've never worked that well with the Texas Municipal League or the TAC at Texas Association of Counties. But in this case, I'm surprised they didn't get the word out. And if they did get the word out, I'm surprised that so many school districts, in this case, school districts, are not complying with the law.
And it seems like candidates aren't, because it also, I think it says that a lot of them, it says that they said, well, candidates never turn them in. So people are out there running, spending all this money, and they're not even filing. Now, you and me, I get fined. I have to go down there and, you know, to the clown court if I'm even late on a report, doing everything right. Apparently, we've got a problem all over the state where the candidates aren't even filing their campaign finance stuff with the authority conducting the election.
I would be fined and embarrassed if it could be used as a weapon against me on a re-election campaign or something. And it's just shy if I was a day late or a few hours late. And in this case, these guys aren't filing these reports at all.
Yeah, and the districts, the school districts, and then maybe other local governments, we don't know. This story from the Texas Tribune and ProPublica focused on school districts. But they just picked 35. And none that held trustee elections in November, so ones that had moved to the November cycle, none had posted the required disclosures online that show, you know, the candidate reports, fundraising and spending. And some of them told the reporters that the candidates didn't turn them in. Well, oh, it's just, I find that amazing because I've been at this my whole life, and that's always a big deal. You got to file. Even if it was at the local, you got to get down there and file. I don't know. So what do you think's next on this? A slap on the wrist, more teeth in it, or what?
You know, we just kind of expected them to comply with the law. So it looks like we're going to have a follow-up bill to, you know, add some teeth to it for compliance, maybe fines, maybe other. We're looking at whatever we can possibly do, but we wanted to avoid that. We just kind of expected people to follow the law.
Well, that's too bad when our local governments don't. Anyway, that's why I think they've been under attack, as they call it, from the legislature. But to have campaign finance stuff for an election you're conducting posted, I mean, that's sort of normal.
There's hardly ever a get-together where the legislature isn't criticized for not funding whatever district it is. We're not funding them enough, you know. And we hear about it ad nauseum, and no one got raises. Nobody got raises for payroll. Nobody got raises for their operations. But they did, by the way.
Yeah.
And we get criticized just ad nauseum, and we can't even get some simple reporting of their campaign finance reports.
Very good. Representative Carl Tepper, House District 84, thanks for the time.
Thanks, Robert.
A huge piece at the Texas Tribune today. You know, I guess if local government can't follow the law, why should we have to follow the law?
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Costa Rica is a world center for dentistry, and while there are many large clinics catering to Canadians, Americans, and Europeans with good prices, they still have the push-em-through maximize cash flow model. That's not what you'll find with our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga. With Dr. Zuniga, you'll be the patient, the center of attention for your entire stay, beginning from airport arrival until you leave for home. It's a level of care, a family in a sense, few've ever experienced. Click the Dental Care banner at PrattOnTexas.com to learn more.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. One of the great quandaries as a Texan is the fact that everybody, we're the big oil state, the leftists hate us, the environmentalists are always going on about getting rid of fossil fuels, and yet it's Texas, not California or New York. In fact, New York just canceled a ton of these offshore wind projects for wind energy generation. It's Texas in our own intrastate grid, the ERCOT grid, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, that leads the developed world pretty much on having, certainly the United States, on having these wind and solar. They call them renewable. Folks, that is so factually wrong that you shouldn't say it because it makes you sound like an idiot or an ignoramus. There's nothing renewable. It's like all energy. You don't renew the wind or renew the sunlight. You simply convert one form of energy into another form of energy, which is how all of this is done. We're the leader on this, and there's a huge story out today, and all it's really telling you is that people like me and the people that actually know how stuff works, not Mr. Tomlinson, the greeny, weeny nutcase, know-it-all, but knows nothing about much of anything, columnist at the Houston Chronicle. Those people don't know anything. We've been telling you for a very long time that Texas, that this green energy, they call it green energy, wind and solar and battery on the grid, is the single biggest threat to a collapse of our civilization and our grid at the moment. And most of you get the idea when the sun's not shining, it's not there. When the wind's not blowing, it's not there. And like the big freeze, you then have to have brownouts to keep the grid from collapsing. If it collapses, we're in the Stone Age. And it's not going to be a week or two and it be back up. It's disastrous. It's dystopian. Now, one of the quotes in this big story today in the Houston Chronicle was from Dan Woodfin, Vice President of Systems Operations, and he was in this subcommittee meeting at ERCOT. He said, "What's a future problem for most of the world is an existing problem, a current problem in ERCOT." I hear a lot of people just don't like ERCOT. But this is out of ignorance, too. ERCOT is not doing bad things out there. Politicians put too much of this non-dispatchable energy on the grid through all these incentives from the federal and state government over the years. And that's hurting us. And the point is, we're ahead of everybody else. This is going to be everybody's problem. You know, you get the Democrats, well, we should tie into the federal grid. I mean, how dare Texas operate its own power grid? That kind of talk is common, and it's really weird. They're all having these problems. They're going to have more of them. The story is out in the Houston Chronicle today, and of course, the facts of the story go against everything that the Hearst papers push for. Texas solar, wind, and battery storage issues could cause, quote, immediate catastrophic grid failure, says ERCOT. The lead sentence, Flaws in some solar, wind, and battery storage resources on the Texas power grid could lead to issues that could cause immediate catastrophic grid failure if they're not addressed, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas said. An industry proposal was tabled by ERCOT's board this week to allow both sides to address the ERCOT staff concerns. In other words, they're the ones that are supposed to look out for the reliability of the grid. They have engineers and others. And the engineers have said there's a real serious problem. It could happen at any moment. We don't have to wait for a weather front or something like that. And they say here, despite protests from developers, that its proposals and continued regulatory uncertainty will chill investment. In other words, let me reinterpret about 20% of this article to you. They're making money putting these things in because of all the government subsidies for it, and they've conned all these, you know, leftist investment houses and people to throw money at this stuff, and they're upset that actually having to do it in a way that makes the grid stay up and safe might cost them a little money in the short term. I read it all. That's all there is. There's no real claim that fixing this problem's too expensive or anything. They just don't want anything to happen right now because it might slow down the money that they're, you know, taking a cut off the top of to do these projects. Now, here's the actual meat of the story. Again, they stupidly say, Claire Howe in this story stupidly says, as renewable energy, there is nothing renewable about any of this energy. By the way, batteries, most inefficient thing there is out there. They have to use as much as half or more of the energy they've stored just to be able to store them and then take the energy back out to you. As this wind, solar, and battery makes up a greater share of the grid, ERCOT said it's posed new challenges too, such as power availability that depends more on weather conditions. Right, we've talked to that. Clean energy development, they call them clean. There's nothing clean about these batteries. There's nothing clean about all this stuff for the windmills put up in our farms or anything else. And certainly nothing clean about the horrible chemicals and things that are used in making solar panels. These developers are accusing ERCOT of discriminatory policy. Really? Well, it's about a device that is required by wind, solar, and battery resources, and it's an inverter. And you all know every time you change energy, it becomes less efficient. There, you're creating direct current. You have to invert that. You have inverters in your home. You have them on the little on things you use. You have to convert it to AC, alternating current, and that current has to on the grid, as we've explained before, with our electrical engineer and chief of a utility guy, our good friend on the show, Ross Ayton, we've talked that the frequency on the grid has to match at every power plant everywhere, it doesn't work. It'll actually destroy stuff. Now, here's the key part of the story. When there is a voltage or frequency disturbance on the grid caused by lightning strikes or equipment failures, in other words, this can happen anytime, ERCOT expects power generators to, quote, ride through, end quote, the disturbances and continue producing power, electricity, alternating current on the grid at the right frequency. But inverter-based resources like wind, solar, and batteries, especially the oldest ones, may sometimes not be able to ride through the disturbance and could trip offline and disconnect from the grid. This can lead to a domino effect of other generators tripping offline, folks, so fast nobody can do anything about it, which could, in a worst-case scenario, which is what we're planning for, result in the rapid collapse of part or all of the ERCOT system. ERCOT has experienced a growing number of these inverter-based resource failures. In other words, it's not hypothetical, it's happening. It says particularly in West Texas. In 21 and again in 22, more than 1,000 megawatts of solar resources tripped offline near Odessa, prompting the NERC, the feds, the North American Electric Reliability Corp, to recommend ERCOT rectify the risk. So the feds are saying you got to fix this too. See, but these people making all this money off these wind and solar plants, they don't want to mess with it. And they agree on what's needed to address the problem, but an ERCOT wants to impose the same requirements for regular generators onto these people. The ride-through guidance, it's an international standard from the IEEE, the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, and they want them to adopt those. By June 2020, the grid, those they signed an agreement. Anybody on the grid since June 2023 has agreed to meet those standards. And they want everybody else to get their system fixed a year later, June 2024. It's just coming up. But those people don't want to. And there's 20 to 30 gigawatts out there that are potential. They don't really produce that much. And they don't want to do it. And by the way, Ryan Quint, the former NERC engineer who was the primary author of nearly all the reports on this issue, is now a consultant working with one of these developers of the so-called renewable energy. So it's not some oil guy doing this. And he says 90% of the resources can address their issue. These people that wind and solar can address their issues with commercially reasonable fixes, such as software upgrades, including the vast majority of solar issues in both of the Odessa events. So don't buy it that it's the oil people doing this. It's their own people. But they don't want to pay. See how all this works? It's all about money in their pocket. That in every way, these resources have become the biggest threat to our prosperity, folks, this wind and solar stuff and batteries on the grid.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
A Crosby County cotton farmer had dental work needs that would have cost at least $25,000 at home. Instead, he went to our official dentist, Dr. Zuniga in Costa Rica, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. He liked it so much, he's visited Costa Rica again. Get started on your savings and vacation adventure. Click the DentoCare banner at PrattonTexas.com. In general, higher property value appraisals do not raise your property taxes. That's done by local government officials. Each year, after new appraised values are set, each local government which levies a property tax must calculate and publish the no new revenue tax rate. We used to call it the effective rate. That figure, which reflects appraisal changes, keeps their tax take equal to the previous year's take in aggregate over their taxing district for those same properties. Last year's tax rate, so often talked about, is meaningless in relation to the new rate set each summer by local governments. If your city's appraised values increased 5% on average, the no new revenue or effective tax rates lowered to produce the same revenue from those same properties as was taken the year before. When officials say they kept the tax rate the same as the year before, if there was an increase in appraised values, then it means they chose to raise your taxes. The previous year's rate's meaningless in determining whether officials voted to raise or lower property taxes. Don't be fooled. Only a vote to adopt the no new revenue tax rates voting for no tax increase.
Concealed carry isn't just a statement. It's a lifestyle. Pratt on Texas continues.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. In the Lubbock area, just south of Lubbock is Linn County, and their hospital district's having this huge tax increase for a bond issue that'll make a huge tax increase on the ballot. And we've talked about it on the show before. And again, the reporters don't know how to factor percentages because they keep writing stories that, well, they're going to take the tax rate from 26 cents per hundred value to 41 cents per hundred. Folks, that's a 62% tax increase on people south of Lubbock in Linn County, a rural county. Peyton Reeves, they had another piece on this. I think this was everythinglubbock.com, the KMAC and KLBK news outlets from Nexstar. Made the press again today. Linn County residents divided on $23 million hospital bond. And you hear the hospital people say, oh, well, but we're getting a lower interest rate. So what if you're saving? You still, people have to pay for all this. And the, also bringing up what we've already covered on the show, the incredible thing that they only have one polling location and they put it at the hospital. So you can, people got to drive 20 miles or more to get there. So you can figure out that the turnout is going to be almost all people that win from this, not the people that have to foot the bill. But I'll tell you, yesterday I got a great piece from one of our listener club members, Kevin. He said, attached is my summary of the Linn County Hospital District's most recent adverse audit findings. As you'll see, they have material and significant weaknesses in their accounting department. First page is a summary and my comments followed by pages from the actual report to the board of directors from the external auditor. I feel that we have to have a clean audit before we can entertain thoughts of increasing taxes by 60% and that we can come to the point where we can trust them with a $23 million bond disbursement. He says, I got a whole lot of other concerns, but this is, you know, that's a separate matter. And I read the entire audit report. In fact, it was done by D&Co, which is now D&Co. It used to be called Durbin & Company. And I go way back. The man who's the chief partner in that I hadn't seen in 20-something years, but his dad was a friend before he died years ago. And they were a client, big accounting firm. They used to do the audits for, I mean, Co-op, Gen, everything out there, cotton gins, grain elevators, you name it. Their specialty now, they're in Dallas and Lubbock and other places. Their specialty is healthcare and hospitals and stuff like that. They do a lot of this. I read the entire draft report of their independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting and noncompliance and other matters based on an audit of financial statements performed in accordance with government auditing standards. It's to the board of directors and management, Linn County Hospital District in Tahoka. And our listener, Kevin's not wrong. There were some serious issues. You've heard me say it over and over when churches and other people end up having money escape. You know, people have embezzled it and it's gone on for years and they didn't know. They don't have in place the most simple standards. And believe me, this audit for the Linn County Hospital District has caught them with that. You always have a weakness or two, but these are serious. A material weakness and saying that they didn't have accurate, so the management didn't have, and the board didn't have accurate financial information throughout the year. How do you make good decisions on that? The findings were presented in June of 2023. They had other materials weakness. Management doesn't have an adequate control process in place to properly reconcile all bank accounts to the general ledger on a timely basis. There's other in there too, other financial controls, exactly the type that allow money to escape to be taken. They're not managing the place, even with standard accounting practices. I have the draft report of the audit. I've looked through it. The listener wasn't lying. I read it all. He sent his own summary, but I read the entire thing yesterday evening. And Kevin says, because of the notable weaknesses in the most recent external audit, I believe we need to fix our obvious issues and get a clean audit before we ask for a 60% tax increase, and certainly before we borrow and disperse $23 million in a very, very small hospital, folks. Very few people there doing this. As a taxpayer, I do not trust that we have the systems, processes, or possibly expertise to coordinate and oversee a project of this magnitude. I guess you can request the audit from the hospital district if you live in Linn County. It's not very complimentary. It found some serious issues, and they're precisely the kind of issues that I wouldn't want to inject millions of dollars going through there for a bunch of projects. Because the worst problems are the kind of things that allow not only incorrect financial information on reports to management, but not the proper controls with making sure that, you know, money's not going where it shouldn't be going. Let's switch gears to some headlines from around the Lone Star State. Houston elementary school teacher accused of soliciting a 15-year-old for sex and having child pornography on his phone. Michael Borkeen, 54, has been arrested. He was a teacher at Magnum Elementary School, certified art teacher at least since 2001, that in Brazoria County, reported by KPRC in Houston. Perryton, in the Panhandle, Perryton's athletic director has been arrested on a charge of sexual assault of a child. Ocotree County Sheriff's Office arrested the Perryton High School AD, and he was indeed the head football coach. Says his name, AD and head football coach Cole Underwood, arrested, reported by KFDA. Slayton in Lubbock County, Slayton Police Department reports that a man working, a 62-year-old man, was killed after being crushed to death by cotton bales. It says at everythinglubbock.com, they reported the man had been working between two 1,500-pound stacks of cotton. According to a press release, the squeeze lift operator was unaware the man was between the stacks when he compressed the row. So maybe they weren't already in bales. They're just compressing the cotton there in a compress. Terrible story. Teen suspect identified in deadly shooting at the Arlington ISD's James Bowie High School yesterday in Arlington. 17-year-old Julian Howard's been arrested and charged with the count of murder in the death of 18-year-old Etavian Barnes. He was also charged with, no surprise, possession of a controlled substance. He had drugs on him. Police chief says this guy, the one that died, was shot five or six times. And this Howard guy tried to flee, but police found him and took him into custody yesterday at James Bowie High School in Arlington. Civil suit against, I guess now, former Texas Tech basketball player Pop Isaacs. The civil suit, the criminal stuff had long gone. The civil suit's been dropped against him for sexually assaulting a 17-year-old. That case looked shaky in every way from the beginning. Ex-guard accused of accepting bribe to sneak cell phone to inmate. KVII in Amarillo says former guard at the Clements unit has been arrested on that. Robert Vincent Ersley, 43, was arrested in April 18th, charged with bribery and prohibited item in a correctional facility. Corpus Christi police officer we've been telling you about, Kyle Hicks, who was shot over the weekend responding to a domestic disturbance call, has died. He's survived by his wife and children. Terrible, terrible story there reported by Valley Central. Jerry Elder found guilty of capital murder in Johnson County. Elders was accused of shooting a Burleson police officer and killing a woman after carjacking her. And Fox 4 reports the jury has found him guilty of capital murder. Parker County mystery motorcyclist has led police on 7 high-speed chases, according to the sheriff's office. All-black motorcycle, no license plate, and a helmet and the visor covering the rider's face in Parker County, west of Fort Worth, has led him on at least 7 high-speed chases and gotten away. And in Jack County, congratulations to them. The scorecard reports Jack County commissioners voted unanimously to adopt an ordinance protecting the unborn. Southwest Airlines and American Airlines earnings reports out. They lost money in Q1. They blame Southwest blames a lot of this on slow deliveries of planes from Boeing. They're already dropping, I think, some routes and pulling back from some other airports. Americans lost mostly because they keep caving into the unions and their labor costs have risen 18%. Back in a moment with more on Pratt on Texas.
During the break, log on to PrattOnTexas.com.
It's an Abilene Sunday tradition. Mouth-watering fried chicken and chicken fried steak. Fabulous veggies served family style with yeast rolls and unbeatable homemade desserts. All from Pratt's favorite, Bell's Chicken Dinner House at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene. Bell's Chicken Dinner House serves you fantastic fresh food every Thursday through Saturday for lunch and dinner. And on Sunday, it's the perfect traditional after-church lunch. The catfish is fantastic, too. Visit Bell's Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
Hunting, sports shooting, and self-defense require the right tools for the right job, and there's no better place to buy new, buy used, upgrade, or repair than from my Second Amendment and Anti-Whip headquarters, LSG Tactical Arms at 2650 34th in Lubbock. You can shop and order anytime at lsgarms.com and then take delivery from the store in Lubbock. In person at 2650 34th in Lubbock or online at lsgarms.com. LSG Tactical Arms is your place to find the right tool.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas Political Swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas Today in Texas History, sponsored by Hub City Title. They're in Lubbock, and if you need a title or escrow company, use them. HubCityTitle.com is where you find out more. They're Lubbock's premier title and escrow company. In 1838, the United States and the Republic of Texas signed the Convention of Limits, recognizing Texas claims to disputed territory in Red River County, which is present Bowie, Red River, Franklin, Titus, Morris, and Cass counties. The agreement also set the eastern boundary of Texas as the west bank of the Sabine River. In 1846, the Mexican-American War ignited as a result of disputes over claims to Texas boundaries. And, of course, we whipped Mexico and took about a third of their country away. 2002, U.S. President George W. Bush and Saudi Crown Prince Abdullah met in the little town out on his ranch of Crawford, Texas. That's your look at today in Texas history, sponsored by Hub City Title. I want to get to this UT, this protest in a moment. I've got another story I just have to share, even if it takes too much time. Big story in the New York Post. Pro-Kremlin Texan Russell Bentley, who fought for Russia, found dead in Ukraine. This guy, as they described him, is a reformed pothead and self-described communist from Austin, of course, older guy. The missing American who had traveled to Ukraine years ago to aid Russian separatists in the Donbas region was found dead in the country's war-torn eastern region. The body of Russell Bitley, a 64-year-old U.S. Army veteran, was recovered in the Russian-controlled region of Donetsk Oblast, according to Reuters. Between 2014 and 2017, Bitley, a self-proclaimed communist from Austin, fought alongside pro-Russian separatists in Ukraine. He had not taken part in the fighting since the full-scale invasion in February of 22. Former pothead who used Texas as his military call sign left behind a yoga instructor girlfriend to travel to Ukraine. He utilized crowdfunding sites to finance his trip. In other words, there are a lot of stupid people out there giving this guy money. And since had become a Russian citizen. He got married after moving to Ukraine, where he began working as a reporter for the state-owned Sputnik News Agency. But he helped the Russians invade the region of Ukraine. The head of state media, RT, Russian media, confirmed Bitley's death, noting he had been fighting there for our guys. They didn't disclose how he died. It's unclear how he died. Conflicting reports suggest he was abducted by Russian soldiers and killed, possibly because they thought he was a spy. On social media, unsubstantiated claims circulated saying Bitley was raped prior to his murder and was either shot 8 times in the head or decapitated. He's said to have vanished while helping the victims of a Ukraine strike on Donetsk. So he's still there helping the Russian invaders, folks. 2 years ago, Bitley was profiled in a Rolling Stone article titled "The Bizarre Story of How a Hardcore Texas Leftist Became a Frontline Putin Propagandist." Russell, for years, he operated a YouTube channel that was finally banned in 2022. He referred to himself as the Donbas Cowboy. Big commie. From, of course, Austin. Goes over there to fight for the Russians way back in their first incursions. He's dead. And since he's a communist and doesn't believe in God, sadly, we know that his soul has lost him. He will be in hell separate from his creator for eternity. That's not a small thing. That's eternity. This life here is that quick. That's eternity. Don't mess with Texas. UT anti-Israel agitators schooled, read a headline at the Dallas Express. But, you know, this isn't about being anti-Israel. Now, the governor played into every criticism possible by writing a terrible post last night saying that these people, basically, the way it worded was just that if you're anti-Israel, you need to be locked up. Now, that's viewpoint discrimination, and the governor is completely wrong on that, and I'm sure he wishes now he had worded that post very differently. He said these people, they need to be, because they hate Israel, or, you know, he didn't come out and say hate Jews, but that's what this is about, that they need to be locked up. No, that's not true. They have a right to be wrong. They have, just like that guy had a right to be a communist. You can't have freedom without true freedom. You got to allow people to believe things that you don't agree with. Now, they locked up a cameraman or so-called photojournalist from Austin, from Fox 7. He was one of the people arrested. He says they claimed he hit a police officer. He said he didn't do it. He's been released from the Travis County Jail. He doesn't know if he'll face any charges. The real question people have is, well, wait a minute. We have free expression, and they're on public property. And yes, but you can't. These people, these movements around the country have claimed and said in advance in their communications, they're planning to take control of these spaces. They're taking these spaces. They are, other words they've used is sit-ins and things. Their purpose is to disrupt the operation of. You do not have a right to do that. Now, in 2019, it's true, the legislature passed a free speech law that established all common outdoor areas at Texas public universities as traditional public forums because the universities, even Texas Tech, had created some little spot where nobody wants to go and called that this free speech area. And that's bull. And that, by the way, that allows anyone, not just students and university members, to exercise free speech there. But your activities have to be lawful. You can't do things like civil disobedience and sit-ins or traffic blockades. The Texas Tribune's Maria Mendez wrote a piece today, what the law says about protesting on Texas college campuses. And, yeah, you can't have true threats to harm another person. You can't incite imminent violence or destruction of property. and unlawful conduct, including civil disobedience like sit-ins or traffic blockades, just because it's public property. So, you know, a congressman's office is public too, or a state rep. You can't go in there and do a sit-in because, well, that's public property, and stop the operation of the office. You can't do that. The students can face violations of both criminal law and the university's code of conduct, and the president's made it pretty clear that they were prepared for this, and you can't take over and disrupt the operations. Here are some quotes from UT's President Herzl, isn't that his name, that he said in his statement. Simply put, UT Austin will not allow this campus to be, quote, taken, end quote, and protesters to derail our mission in ways that groups affiliated with your national organization have accomplished elsewhere. He sent a letter to that group running this. Please be advised you are not permitted to hold your event at the university campus. Any attempt so to do will subject your organization and its attending members to discipline, including suspension under the institutional rules. Letter said any attendees not affiliated with UT will be directed to leave and may be subject to arrest. UT's Division of Student Affairs said it does not tolerate disruptions of campus activities or operations like we've seen at other campuses. DPS said its troopers were requested by the university and by the governor to prevent any unlawful assembly and support UT police in maintaining the peace by arresting anyone engaging in any criminal activity. Despite claims made to make you believe people are being arrested or are being run off for their, you know, exercising their right to protest, that is not true. The governor really shouldn't have said this. He said, these protesters belong in jail. Anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests at any public college or university in Texas should be expelled. Now, governor, that's insane. That's anti-America. They have every right to be that way if they want to be. They just don't have a right to take over and do that kind of thing. And you've got a bunch of UT faculty members all furious now. Say, oh my gosh, you turned our campus typical language into a militarized zone. You know, if conservatives showed up and were going after them, they would be begging for the police. Where are they? Where are they? And there was a piece at Fox News that quoted the university's president, Herzl, a lot. And Herzl is his name, not Herzl. And just really explaining the whole point of, no, you're free to have your opinion, but you can't come in here and take over the university. And that is correct. UT's president really just made the point, look, we have rules on all this. You have free speech, but you can't come in here and just break all the rules. And he said, our university will not be occupied. Again, exactly right. That's the right way to do it. But the governor's comments were really atrocious and demonstrated the very wrong message about free speech. Out of time, long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.